Scripture reading today is from John 16, verse 16 to 24. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?" So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again, a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she has no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full."
ヨハネによる福音書16章20ごめんなさい16章16節から24節までお願いします。しばらくするとあなた方はもはや私を見なくなります。しかしまたしばらくすると私を見ます。そこで弟子たちのうちのある者は互いに言った。しばらくするとあなた方は私を見なくなる。しかしまたしばらくすると私を見る。また私は父のもとに行くからだと主が言われるのはどういうことなのだろう。そこで彼らはしばらくするとと主が言われるのは何のことだろうか。私たちは私たちには主の言われることがわからないと言った。イエスは彼らが質問したがっていることを知って彼らに言われた。しばらくするとあなた方は私を見なくなる。しかしまたしばらくすると私を見る。と私が言ったことについて互いに論じ合っているのですか。誠に誠にあなた方に告げます。あなた方は泣き嘆き悲しむが世は喜ぶのです。あなた方は悲しむが、しかしあなた方の悲しみは喜びに変わります。女が子を産むときにはその時が来たので苦しみます。しかし子を産んでしまうと一人の人が世に生まれた喜びのためにもはやその激しい苦痛を忘れてしまいます。あなた方にも今は悲しみがあるが、私はもう一度あなた方に会います。そうすればあなた方の心は喜びに満たされます。そしてその喜びをあなた方から奪い去るものはありません。その日にはあなた方はもはや私に何も尋ねません。誠に誠にあなた方に告げます。あなた方が父に求めるもの求めることは何でも父は私の名によってそれをあなた方にお与えになります。あなた方は今まで何も私の名によって求めたことはありません。求めなさい。そうすれば受けるのです。それはあなた方の喜びが満ち満ちたものとなるためです。
Good morning again. How's everyone doing? Good, good. Today we're gonna, the message is about praying in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name. And some of you might have caught the phrase that says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Amen. Now that's in a context, and that's what we're going to look at today. The context of what that means. What exactly does he mean? Does he mean anything that we ask in his name, he'll give to us? That's what he says. But everything is in a context, right? So for example, if I gave somebody $500 for just say school supplies, and they ask me, what can I buy with this $500? The context is school supplies, and I say, well, whatever you want, whatever you need. That's sort of what happens, right, with student loans, right? They give you thousands of dollars, buy whatever you want, whatever you need. The context is, and if you read the contract, it has to be school related, but some people go and buy other stuff and they get in trouble. They get tattoos and stuff like that with the money. Seen that happen before, actually. But so here, this is in context, so before we get into what exactly it means, let's look at the context Jesus is saying this in. He's talking about leaving, returning, and spiritually perceiving. Leaving, returning, perceiving. They say that a couple of times. Let me read it again. It says, a little while you will see me no longer. And this is Jesus talking. And again, a little while you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he is saying to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while you will see me. And because I am going to the Father. Let us settle down and pray first, and then let me give you my thoughts on these. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us the message you desire us to hear. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and teach us your ways, what it means to pray in your name. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The disciples were confused about Jesus' statement, because I'm leaving. A little while you'll see me, and a little while you will not see me. And they were confused because the statement Jesus makes was out of their grid, if you will, of understanding. They already had in mind what God was going to do, how he was going to do it, and this was not in their preconceived notion of what God was going to do. This was out of their realm of possibility. That Jesus was going to leave them and go to the Father. And that they will not see him anymore. And this caused the disciples to begin to misunderstand what he was saying. If you will, spiritually deaf, dull, and the New King James Version says it, dumb. I think when the New King James says dumb, it just means deaf. It's an old way of saying that's not PC, so I'm not going to use that. But they were spiritually dull, if you will. I don't know how to say this, but just to side note, the physical senses is always... it always picks up the least important thing, the physical senses, such as seeing with our eyes, hearing with our ears, even tasting with our tongues, feeling with our hands, or feeling with our body. They always pick up the least important, meaning the most important is always unseen with these senses. For example, medicine, right? Medicine or healthy things oftentimes taste bad. And we sense it with our tongue. However, it is usually the most useful for us. We oftentimes miss the most important things in life because maybe it's not physically appealing. But what's important isn't necessarily what we see with our eyes. And this is sort of what Jesus is talking about when he says, a little while you'll see me, and a little while you'll not see me again. But here, we also must be careful in terms of understanding God. The disciples here misunderstood and missed the teaching of God here because they had a preconceived notion about God. And for us, we also have to be careful not to have those things of already knowing how God is going to do something. Already knowing what God will do. His ways are far greater than our ways. His ways are above our ways. And so how God wants to do things, oftentimes we have to humble ourselves. Because saying, I know what God is going to do and how He's going to do it, is a form of pride. And pride always goes before a fall. Pride always goes before a fall. Pride is what caused these disciples and what will continue to cause disciples to have spiritual dullness in our lives. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Before we could talk about that, let us try to unbind ourselves of our preconceived notion of what it means to pray in Jesus' name. Because I think we all have a preconceived notion of what that means. I did because when I was saved about 20 years ago now, my friend who led me to the Lord said, whenever you end a prayer, you got to end it with in Jesus' name. Because that's where, you know, that is where God, that's sort of like a mailing address kind of thing, and that's how it goes to God. And I'm like, okay. And I don't think, he only told me once, so I don't think I remembered it, and so I was saying something, Jesus something, I don't know. You know, when you're not Christian, you don't understand like Christian language, and that's sort of Christian language. However, just because I may not have said in Jesus' name, God probably still heard my prayers, right? Yeah, okay. I hope so, you know. Anyways, going back to what Jesus meant by his earlier statement, in a little while, you will see me, in a little while, you won't see me. There are a couple of possibilities of what that meant. However, it's interesting, he doesn't really explain it, right? In fact, instead of explaining it, he just gives us a lesson and a warning. A lesson and a warning. Do you guys want to know what he might have meant when he said in a little while? Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. It could have meant the death and resurrection of Jesus. So literally, he would actually be gone from his disciples because he would be crucified, buried, and for 3 days, the disciples would literally not see him. And after 3 days, he will rise from the grave and they will see him again. Those 3 days, you could make the argument, were filled with grief and lamentations, but on that third day, filled with joy. So he does literally fulfill that. And oftentimes, you actually see that with prophecy. With God's prophecies, there are immediate fulfillment of that. But that immediate fulfillment oftentimes serves as a type or model, or as engineers may call it, a prototype. So here, Jesus is giving a prototype. It could also mean, and it also does mean this. Jesus says, in a little while, I'm going to leave to the Father. And he does. He ascends to the Father, and the disciples are without Jesus. And for close to 50 days, they are without God's presence. What happens 50 days after it? The day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes. And they see the Father, they see Jesus again. This time, not physically with their physical eyes, but they see him spiritually. In a spiritual sense, Jesus is on this earth again, in a spiritual sense. So in a little while, I'll be gone. A little while, I'll return. The Holy Spirit. It is the promise of the Holy Spirit. In this context, chapter 16, and beyond, he is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he is teaching them about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if they see the Holy Spirit, they have seen Jesus. Just like Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And that is not a physical seeing. That is a spiritual seeing. The physical is oftentimes picks up on the least important things. Not that when he comes spiritually, we won't see him physically. But it is in a different way. If I was a scientist, I'll tell you, but I'm not, so in a different way. The third possible meaning of what he means, in a little while, you'll see me, in a little while, you will not see me. He might be perhaps alluding to his second coming. We know that Jesus is going to return on the earth a second time. Usually that second coming coincides with judgment. But going back to the lesson Jesus teaches and the warning, he says in verse 20, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world." Here is a visual, no, just kidding, of what it looks like to be with child. I am not with child. But Jesus gives us a lesson. He gives us a lesson of a child, of a woman giving birth. As a man, I will never know what that feels like, or what, I know what it's talking about, but as a man, I can never know what he's truly talking about. For those of you mothers out there, you know what this is talking about, right? You guys, for those of you who've given birth, I don't want to make too much eye contact because, you know, I don't want to think that you've given birth when you have not given birth. Okay, just kidding. The lesson is from childbirth. And for those of us, I can't say us, for those of you who have born a child, know the pain of bearing a child. Also, the joy of bearing a child. And some of you mothers, you don't have to confess, but some of you mothers, on that childbearing moment, the transition moment of actually bearing the child, you are doing some crazy things, right? You are saying some crazy things. Yeah? No? Husbands, did you get cussed out or anything like that? That's what I hear. You know, I hear there's a lot of cussing and, "Why did you get me pregnant? This is all your fault." Any of that happen?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. "This is all your fault." But then, can the man take the credit? "This is all my fault when the child comes." Anyways, the first warning is that this, very simple, you want to pray in Jesus' name, first warning, disclaimer, not going to be easy. It is not going to be easy. It will be so difficult, you will cry out loud like a woman giving birth. You will weep and lament. It is, you know, people that have cried out loud. It's not a good feeling, is it? Let me lighten the mood. So I was watching a movie called forgot the name. Just slipped my mind. But it's the movie about Mary Poppins, how Mary Poppins was made. Saving Mr. Banks. It's a sad movie. You guys ever see Saving Mr. Banks? A very sad movie. I was in the theater, the cheap theater, watching it, and you know, it was during this sad part, and I'm sure everyone was crying. Sure, it's just one of those things. But there was one woman, she was just like, like, you know, I was about to let out a cry like that until she did that, and that kind of like, it helped me, like, because that was kind of funny hearing someone weep like that. But you know, that's what Jesus is saying, though. That's how hard it's going to be. There's always a disclaimer when it comes to the promises of God that it will not be easy. But the lesson Jesus teaches is that the pain is not the promise. The pain is not the promise. It is an unfortunate byproduct of being given a promise. And, you know, you could say the greater the promise, the bigger the pain. But the pain is not the promise. Because when the promise arrives, it will always, just like your child, far outweigh the pain that you had to endure. And there will be a greater joy than there was the sorrow and the lamenting. So for those of us, and for those of you who have been given a great promise by God, oftentimes, and almost all the time, attached to it are trials and tribulations. And if we are not ready for that, it is possible to abort what God has given us because we weren't ready. We were not ready. Either mentally we weren't ready, or we just weren't ready in maturity. They say the time when the birth is about to be given, or the transition, I heard somebody say that period is called transitioning, the transition period, is oftentimes the most painful. And if it's not in a controlled environment, dangerous things might happen, right? It's important for each and every one of us. We all have great promises from God. We all do. Doesn't matter if you consider yourself Christian or not. I just want to say God has a great promise for you. Prior to that promise, it is so important to surround yourself with godly people.
That's enough.
It is important to surround yourself with people that love you unconditionally. Because that promise can be aborted if you're by yourself. The pain is so excruciating, you're going to need people around you to love you. To take the, this is all your fault. You're going to need people to take that. And to realize what you're going through. And to hold your hand during that process. To tell you, just breathe, breathe, breathe. Ha, ha, whoo. Ha ha, I don't know. Trying to lighten the mood there. But it is important to surround your people because look what it says. It says, there will be sorrow and then there will be people who actually rejoices in your sorrow. The world will rejoice. Perhaps at your suffering, maybe. Now let's get into what it means then to pray in Jesus' name. This has a context, and we looked at the small context of it that Jesus said this, but it has an even greater context. It has an even greater context. Do you remember any time when the saints in the Old Testament prayed or came in the name of the Lord? One of the most famous one would be David. David battling Goliath. He says, you come with me with sword, spears, and javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord. When the disciples heard that you're going to pray in my name, that is a whole history of praying and calling upon the name of the Lord. It is no longer Jesus here in a subtle way unveils that he is that Lord that they've been praying in. No longer a title, I'm going to give you a personal name you could pray in. You pray in the name of Jesus. So when David said, I come in the name of the Lord, if David was a New Testament believer, he would have said, you come with me with sword, spears, and javelin, I come in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody? No amens? Come on, that's a good place to say, oh man. Let me say that again. No, just, okay, fine. All right. It's a lazy Sunday, I know. It's kind of, you know, it was dark, it was overcast, people were tired, I get it. I have no beef for you today, I get it. The dude with the tattoo took all your amens away. I get it. All right.
Amen.
All right. That's not where you say amen. Come on. All right. And then it says, in that day, what day? When they see the Holy Spirit. Or when they see the Lord. In that day, when they deliver the baby, the anguish, the joy has come. In that day, he says, in that day, you will ask for nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Asking you receive, that your joy may be full. The promise Jesus gives to his disciples to hold on to is that they will have direct access to God the Father when they see him in a little while. The promise is, the holding on to the promise, you will not ask me anymore, you will ask directly to God the Father. It says, with that direct access, they will now be able to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And it's important, again, to realize that this concept of praying in Jesus' name isn't necessarily adding that phrase in the beginning or the end of the prayer. Now, if you do that, that's great. I do that too, all the time. In fact, just a confession, I kind of get bothered if people don't do that. I do. I don't know why. That's just a religious habit I have of mine. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, I'm going to give you a new phrase and statement to add on to your prayers. That's not what he's saying. If you do that, that's great. I think that's a powerful testament. It lets other people know who you're praying to, which is actually important in the times and the place we're living in. But adding to that phrase, I'm going to go off script. That phrase is actually very powerful. Whether you know Jesus or not, that's actually a very powerful phrase. The name of Jesus is actually very powerful. There's a story in the book of Acts where Jewish people realized that demons were submitting to the name of Jesus. They weren't Christians. They didn't know Jesus at all. They knew who he was historically, obviously. But they were going around and casting out demons using that name Jesus. And it was actually working for a while. And until one demon wised up and said, hey, you know, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you guys? And the demon actually attacked them. So that is to say, the name of Jesus is powerful and demons actually submit to that name just by using the phrase of that name. Amen. But don't get into the habit of doing that. Because you might run into a buzzsaw that comes after you. The fullness of joy learned comes in receiving what you ask for in Jesus' name. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Again, I talked about the long history of that praying to the name of the Lord. But here Jesus is teaching us something that I believe if we're able to capture, and I gotta confess, I have not really perfected this, but if we're able to capture, there is a fullness of joy that is available to us. And that you can actually begin to receive what you ask for. Now that is a specific term though, asking. It is different than petitioning, I believe, if we're going to nuance things. You can petition to the Lord things that God has not already ordained. I believe that as Christians, as sons and daughters of Christ, I believe we could begin to petition things that more in a legal sense, petitioning to the Lord. But here the asking part, let's just go back to the asking part. It has to do with perceiving. Perceiving what? It says, a little while I'm going to be gone, and a little while I'll come back. It's going to be like birthing a child. There's a connection between receiving and asking that's connected with the pains and trials of birthing the promises of God. The more we birth the promises of God in our lives, as we go through the trials and tribulation, I believe the greater will be abiding in Christ to be able to ask things through Christ. But that's also important, abiding in Him. Abiding in Him no matter how hard things get, instead of aborting. Abiding instead of aborting. Abiding with Christ no matter how hard things get. There's also an aspect of perceiving. Again, not physically with our eyes, but spiritually to somehow perceive that Jesus is in this situation. And when we see Him, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, spiritually, not necessarily physically, we can begin to ask. And we will receive. Very few of us actually see well in the Spirit. Very few of us even know to wait and watch and try to perceive. It is a discipline that it has not been necessarily taught well in the church. What's taught, and I'm not going to say this is a wrong thing. What is normally taught is reading this, studying this, and knowing what everything this says. And then pray according to what you have already read as God's law. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. Surely we should know the Bible. We should study the Bible. But here, that's not what Jesus is saying. This can lead us, but it can also lead us astray, right? Depending on how we read it and through whose voice we hear it. Because ultimately, if it is not the Holy Spirit speaking to us as we read this, we could totally take this and use this for evil purposes. And when I say evil, I do mean evil purposes. It has been done. I had a list of things when it's been done for evil purposes. Actually, it was a different list. But that's been done before. Now, I'm not saying don't read this. I do encourage you to read this, to know this, to understand this, to treasure this. More important, though, is the Holy Spirit that will teach you. Through this, He will definitely use you. Use this. But to see, perceive, to hear, to understand. It is more than an academic pursuit. It is more than an academic pursuit. It is a spiritual insight and revelation that unless the church begins to have more spiritual insight and revelation, we will be groping in the dark. Sometimes getting it right, sometimes getting it wrong. Sometimes asking the right thing, sometimes asking for the wrong thing. Jesus says, in a little while, you will see me because I go to the Father. Physically, Jesus is with the Father, but there is some way to actually perceive Him and see Him. And even now, if we had eyes to see, we would see things
in the spiritual realm that the Father is doing, even amongst this mist. All you see is a bearded man with glasses talking. Kind of overweight. That is offensive to you. And the physical reality oftentimes is offensive. Especially what's good for you is oftentimes offensive. But if we learn to see with eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands, we will begin to ask the Father, and we will begin to receive. And there's a fullness of joy that comes with that. Let us pray. Oftentimes we close our eyes when we pray, and that is a good practice because it forces us not to use our physical sense of seeing. So as we close our eyes, I do encourage you to try to perceive, not just imagine, you know, using our imagination is a great tool, but not just an imagination, but what is God doing? Do you see Jesus like he's promised here? Do you see him like he promised? If not, that's okay. But I want you to know the reality is that he has given us abilities to see. Holy Spirit, I do pray that you'll give us eyes to see, ears to hear, in a heart that understands. I pray, Father, that you would help us to perceive the promises that you have given us. Father, for those of us who are going through trials and tribulation and who need help and encouragement, I pray you will send that. Help and support. People that will love unconditionally and who realizes the closeness to the promise they are about to receive. For those of us who have aborted on promises, Lord, because they are too difficult, Lord, we know that your gifts and callings are irrevocable and that they will come again. When the time comes, Lord, I pray that this time we would be ready to go through hell and high water to see your promises come through. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have unveiled and revealed the name Jesus Christ to us. That precious name, we do come in your name, Lord. Be glorified through us, in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.